Good day, Petersburg. This is Crab Bait Radio, a KFSK special with all the news and cultural programming you can shove in your bait can.
If it ain't news, it's crab bait.
I'm Matt Lichtenstein.
And I'm Joe Vicnicki.
And today on our program,
Motor Pool Madness.
Google shines the spotlight on Petersburg,
sweating out swine flu in soggy southeast,
and the Panhandle previews tomorrow's technology today.
Those and other rotten fish parts coming up on our Crabbait Radio Comedy Cavalcade of 2009.
But first, these headlines from the Crabbait Newsroom. Now that Petersburg voters have approved the creation of a regional solid waste authority, the town has been flooded with proposals for dealing with Southeast Alaska's garbage. One of them recently came from East Nordic Drive resident Oscar T. Grouch.
When it comes to waste disposal, everybody always says, "Not in my backyard." Well, no more. I want your garbage, and I want it in my backyard. Hit it, Viceroy.
Oh, I love trash. Anything dirty or stingy or dusty. Anything ragged or rotten or rusty. Yes,
related development, Petersburg Power and Light will soon move forward with improvements to the town's power grid. After learning that voters had approved a $3 million bond issue for the project, local electric company officials issued this statement.
We're gonna turn it on. We're gonna bring you the power. It's coming down the line, strong as it can be, through the courtesy of the electric company.
And now over to you, Joe.
Thanks, Matt. In state news, the Parnell administration in Anchorage this week received a shocking phone call from Juneau. Apparently, in their haste to get out of the capital, they've left someone behind. The unidentified state employee was calling from the offices of the Division of Flammables and Investments. State government has been unable to get back in touch with the lost employee. Earlier this week, however, we paddled north in a kayak to get to the capital city in search of the last state employee in Juneau.
Hello! Hello!
Is there someone there?
Oh, there you are.
It's cold in here, and I'm lonely, and I don't know what happened to my per diem.
Assistant Deputy Commissioner Melvin Rumbleseat is being nursed back to health at a local hospital and will be released back into the bowels of state government sometime after the hunting season.
A town hall-style meeting on healthy treat reform turned contentious in Petersburg this week as school administrators proposed sweeping changes to the birthday and bake sale snack system. Young protesters turned out in droves with signs that said, "Cupcakes, not carrots," and "Keep the government away from our cookies." Town hall speakers tried to keep order, but they were shouted down by a large group of third and fourth graders.
What do we want?
Chips Ahoy!
When do we want them?
Now!
What do we want?
Reese's Pieces!
When do we want them?
Now!
Look, children, we are not proposing a single pear at snack time. You might get several pears and maybe an apple.
How can you support these Stalinist policies? What about the Pop-Tart panels?
There are not going to be any Pop-Tart panels. We're just trying to help kids with end-of-snack issues. All we're saying is that everyone should have access to healthy snacks.
You lie!
Oreos! 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 Oreos!
As a compromise, the school administration has agreed to drop the so-called organic option in favor of retaining the private snack cake system.
Crabby.
Hi-oh!
Ed McMahon! And here I am in my house dress.
Are you Mrs. Thomas P. Bay?
Yes, yes, I am.
Congratulations. You've just won a hydropower permit from the Energy Commissioner's Clearinghouse.
I don't believe I've won something. What have I won?
You've just won a hydropower permit from the Energy Commissioner's Clearinghouse.
Oh, my. Oh, I didn't even know I applied.
Well, you've got 3 years to develop a fully functional lake tap and powerhouse.
3 years? Oh, I'd better get started. Oh, wait till I tell the neighbors.
A shocking development now out of City Hall. Officials say they no longer have control of the town's vast fleet of vehicles. We have word that the machines from the motor pool have gone rogue and are amassing behind the airport in what may be an assault on the human population of the community. We now go live to Crabbait Radio's Joe Vignicki, who is hiding in a ditch behind the airport runway.
Yes, it was sometime after 8:15 in the morning of June 3rd last year, and officials think it may have started with the robotic arm dump truck. It was that vehicle that may have been the first to develop self-awareness. Oh, look out! The truck, it left its route on Wrangell Avenue that day and plugged into an Ethernet port, and from there was able to hack into the mainframe of the city's computer. First, it redrew lines on the city's zoning map, and then started to order other vehicles, sometimes without going out to bid. I have with me Arnie Thaito, a motor pool director. Excuse me, Mr. Thaito, what's the situation?
Well, my crews haven't been able to get close enough to figure out what they're doing, but we do know there's a lot more of them. I mean, they're multiplying. There's new ones coming in every day. You got to be kind of impressed by that. I mean, they got everything. They got dump trucks, they got front-end loaders and cement rollers. Look out! There's rescue boats and fire trucks and Segways and Rascals and... Oh, is that a Briggs & Stratton? Oh, stop!
Conditions here are getting worse. From time to time, you can hear an explosion echoing down from the hillside. And even more crushed rock spills down behind the landing strip itself. Again, Motor Pool Director Thaito.
Just Monday afternoon, they took over a chunk of land on Haugen Drive near 12th Street, and they started filling that thing in with crushed rock, too. I mean, it looked like a 1.8-acre spawning red. Oh, there goes a giant dump truck right now. All summer long, too, they've been taking truckfuls of rock from the mountainside and bringing it somewhere out Mitkoff Highway, maybe another spawning bed. There's just too many of them.
Another very alarming development in this story is the continuing expansion of the airport landing strip itself. It's now much bigger than needed for a normal 737, and it could be they're preparing to land bigger machines by air, perhaps from this planet or another. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vignicki.
Crabbait Radio. Our bottom has been wet and productive for nearly a decade. How about yours?
Crabbait Radio receives support from the newly formed Panhandle Garbage Can Handlers Authority, because one town's garbage is another town's gold. The Can Handlers Authority, talking trash since 2009.
Breaking Crabbait news now. The little hamlet of Petersburg has been rocked by an online scandal of Watergate proportions. We now go live to the news desk, where we find Matt Lichtenstein online. Matt, are you on Twitter again? Stop tweeting and talk to me.
I'm not tweeting, you twit. I'm on the Google.
The Google?
That's right, Joe. As you may recall, Google Maps recently came through Petersburg with its panoramic street view cameras. The pictures are now on the net, and, well, let's just say the town was definitely not ready for its close-up.
Details, Matt. The public has the right to know.
You want details? Let's just zoom into the corner of Lumber and First Streets, where we can see Julie Jorgensen's house.
Actually, Matt, I'm not sure those two streets actually meet.
They do on the internet, Joe. In fact, zoom in a little bit more, and you can see into Mrs. Jorgensen's kitchen window. And there she is, pickling her contest-winning herring.
Are those frozen bait herring packages she's opening?
You're darn tootin', Joe, and if we zoom in a little closer... There they go, right into the jar. And that's not all, Joe. Let's scroll a little ways uptown to the intersection of 17th and Dolphin.
17th and Dolphin?
It's on the Google, Joe. Look it up. Anyway, look at this street view. There's a cute little bungalow right here. And let's get a little closer here. And...
Hey, that's my house.
Yes, apparently for the residents of this little bungalow, it's clothing optional. But that's not the worst of it. Check out this zoom.
Those two cats should get a room.
Whoops, wrong street. Anyway, let's just shift over and zoom into the street view at the roundabout on Harbor Way and King's Row.
That looks like Norman Rootwad. He's the chair of the Itty Bitty City Committee.
Yeah, caught on camera with his hand in the cookie jar.
You mean he's been embezzling?
No, Joe, his hand is actually stuck in a jar full of cookies. Cookies that he was supposed to be saving for refreshments at the Itty Bitty City Committee's upcoming meeting.
No.
Yes, Joe. Yes. Now, the best new feature of the street map images is their interactivity, so I'm just going to go ahead and slip into my virtual reality suit and a helmet. There we go, and we switch it on. And go ahead and plug in, and now, there we go. Now, Joe, my online avatar can talk to Chairman Rootwad in person. Oh, and here he is. Mr. Rootwad.
No comment.
How do you explain this photograph? Mr. Rootwad.
No comment. Talk to my attorney.
Oh, no, you did not just run away from me. We've got a runner, Joe. I'm going to have a chase him down the street.
Off they go. They're out past the tennis courts by Doihoff.
They sure are. Whoa!
Matt, what happened?
It's pretty hairy down here, Joe. I just threw a barrel of rotten salmon heads down the hill after him, and I had to jump it. There's another one.
Matt, be careful. There's a lot of danger lurking on the internet.
You're telling me. I just ran past the former finance minister of Nigeria who offered me a great deal on Viagra if I purchased an authentic Rolex watch at rock-bottom prices. I mean, that really slowed up my CPU, and I've momentarily lost the committee chair, and... Oh, there he is again, right behind those colorful, flashing, ghost-like lights. Why, they're beautiful.
Matt, don't go towards the lights! Run away from the lights!
Leaping Ludafisk! Oh, no!
Matt, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm fine. I just had to duck in behind this building here, and I got a little lost on Google Maps. You know where I can find some directions?
Mr. Clompers, is it?
Yeah, that's right, Doc.
Let's see what we've got here. Let's see. You've got a bit of a variance problem. Conditional use permit. Looking to build a new shed in your backyard?
It's just a little building, though. Like a 10 by 12, you know, nothing major. You know, they told me to stop in here and get your approval. Maybe we could get started on construction. I'm thinking, like, maybe next month or something.
Whoa, there, Speedy. Yeah, next month this, how about next decade? I mean, I'm looking at your results here, and I gotta tell you, it doesn't look too promising. You know, you've got a lot of impacts to consider before you go building a shed in your backyard.
Impacts? I was told at most maybe be an environmental assessment, maybe a year, $200,000 or something.
No. I'm sorry. No, I don't mean to laugh, but, you know, you're looking at a full-blown EIS. It could be 10 years, $20 million, say. I mean, you got goshawks, horned voles, great lesser Midwestern blueback nuthatches. I mean, come on, you even got Tongass silverback mountain apes. I mean, you know, do you know how rare those are? I've got one in my backyard. You've got five, so I'm afraid to tell you, you've got a raging case of the NEPAs here. Ooh, but it looks like you've got good insurance. Hey, welcome to our office. We'd be happy to help.
As the swine flu pandemic ravages the country, crab bait reporter Joe Vignicki has holed up inside a hermetically sealed container with 2 years' supply of water and top ramen noodles. We now go live to Joe inside his bubble. Joe, so far so good?
That's right. So far, no...
Oh, I had a noodle stuck in my throat. So far, no symptoms of the swine flu for me, Matt. I am getting some sores on my backside from sitting in the Sparkle Lounger for too long, though.
I guess you're pretty... excuse me. you're pretty confined in the anti-flu bubble?
Yes, that's right, Matt. It's been several long weeks watching lots and lots of football games and reruns of The Office. I think my muscles are starting to break down a little bit. So far, my spirits are still holding up. I'm happy to report no swine flu yet here.
Joe, is it getting a little hotter? Like, where you are right now, are you feeling kind
of
hot?
As a matter of fact, I've lost circulation in my legs, strangely enough. They're actually a little bit chilly. I do understand the state has an energy rebate program, and I'm looking into that to getting some insulation installed on the outside of the bubble here. Matt, are you feeling all right?
I'm fine, Joe. I'm just feeling a little bit woozy. Hang on. I understand there have been some cases confirmed in town. Do officials know how the virus came here into Petersburg?
That's a great question, Matt. As is the case with most problems here in town, people are pointing the finger at the Cabin Creek pipeline, which, as you may recall, had multiple pigs forced through it earlier this year. That was an effort to clean up the muskeg gunk off the inside of the pipe. Many are now saying that those pigs may have carried this flu strain into town and could have spread the virus throughout the city's water supply itself.
Matt?
Would you have been exposed to the flu while drinking the water from the pig pipe? Joe?
That's just nonsense, Matt. I'm safe and sound here in my bubble and showing no signs of the flu. In fact, let's go to our swine flu interactive mapping device and take a look at some of the numbers. You can see clearly here from the colors red and blue. In the red, it's the danger areas of town. And it's clear the virus has hit the 18 to 36-year-old demographic on the Five Daughters Hill area, as you can see right up here in this map area.
Joe, I can't see anything.
You've lost your sight now?
No, I can't see what you're doing. I'm talking to you on the radio.
That's a great point, Matt. Let's take a look at some of the numbers in a way that might translate a little bit better for radio. Let's go over here to the Doihoff precinct, where flu returns are coming in at over 80%. So far, we're also getting scattered reports from the Lumber Street area, so it's a little too early to tell on that front. And it looks like residents of North Nordic have actually just boarded up their homes and not gone to the doctors, so actual flu cases could be well below the reported number of 201 there. Other precincts are just now reporting in, Matt, so we'll get back to you a little bit later on those numbers, okay?
Yo, is this a crisis for the medical profession?
Well, Matt, I'm not a doctor, but to tell you the truth, it sounds like you should take 2 aspirin and get a little bed rest. I would say, for the most part, it seems like they've got this one under control, and there's no need for any panic. Back to you, Matt.
One more time.
Crabbait Radio, plucking that chicken since before plucking that chicken was popular.
Crabbait Consulting, how may I take your call?
Yeah, I want to find out about having a harbor study done.
Okay, just a moment.
Bob Kraske here, Corporate VP for Crab Bait Consulting. What can I do for you?
Hi, I'm with the city of Scout Bay. I'd like to find out about the cost of a study for a new harbor here.
Well, you've come to the right place. What kind of a study were you looking for?
Well, you see, we're trying to figure out about how to dock some boats here, but we don't have a lot of money to spend on your consulting fees.
Well, look no further. Crab Bait Consulting has all different levels of professional reports to suit your needs. For $150, we'll take a tide table, slap a photo of your town on the cover, and call it a harbor survey. How's that sound?
Okay, that doesn't really sound like,
It's a color photo.
No, that's not really what I,
Now, for $20,000, we'll tell you what a crazy idea it'd be to try and dock vessels there, complete with a historic record of all the boats that have crashed on the rocks at that very location, along with a photo of the town on the cover.
No, I don't think so,
Well, if you want something a little bit more detailed, for $50,000, we'll tell you exactly what it is you want to hear. Which, in this case, I take it is what a good place your little town is for docking vessels, right?
Yeah, that's kind of what we were thinking about along them, something along those lines,
well,
I think.
Well, you see, that's always going to cost you a little bit more. In fact, if any politicians have already caught wind of this little project and aren't on board already, well, then you're looking at some additional fees to get them on board.
Look, I was kind of just looking for a study like the one you guys did for Papke's Landing.
Oh, sure, we can do that. That's another option, no problem. For $500, we offer one of our standard studies, and we just throw your town's name on the front cover, and bam, you can get out there and promote that bond issue right away.
You'd have some charts and graphs from Scout Bay in it, right?
Nope, strictly boilerplate. You know, it might have some numbers from some other harbor somewhere, like, you know, in Hawaii or New Jersey. It doesn't really matter. Nobody reads these things. Some generic boat pictures and some water, some pretty colorful pictures of seals or sea lions, and some statistics about boating fatalities in the U.S. and some advertising from boat dealers. We'll slap a picture of your town on the cover. $500 is done.
Okay. Well, that tide table option you were talking about, is that this year's tide table?
Well, actually, it's last year's tide table, but for another $100, you can update it.
Coming soon to a theater near you.
Akavit, shaken, not stirred.
Sean Cannery is back as Secret Agent W. Betcha.
Oh, James.
Mild-mannered harbor master by day, international super sleuth by night.
We've got plenty of room. Just tie up to the Goldfinger.
James, you said we could hot berth tonight.
I'll take a rain check on that, Miss Chummy Humpy.
Harbor Master of the Year with a license to hot berth. This fall, Sean Cannery is Secret Agent W. Betcha.
News programming on Crabbait Radio is brought to you by Crabbait Consulting, where you get a free pie chart with every feasibility study. Crabbait Consulting. Just tell us what you want to hear, and we'll tell you how much it costs.
I'm Crabbait Radio's Matt Lichtenstein, and I'm standing just inside Petersburg's new combination cold storage library and convention center. Hundreds of inventors have gathered here and set up their display booths between alternating stacks of contemporary fiction and chilled chum salmon. It's a new statewide trade show aimed at selling Alaskans on what these innovators call last frontier technology, or LAFT for short. Hans Gerdy is a troller-turned-inventor who's got a unique new fishing system on display. Using a remote control, Gerdy flies a military surplus Predator drone aircraft to spot the fish. Then he deploys a remote control Predator drone troller, which automatically moves in for the catch.
This thing is amazing. I mean, at the peak of king salmon season, I can relax in my living room, tilt back in my bark lounger, crack a cold one, catch a tech load of fish at the same time. Another thing, it's great for keeping trollers off my favorite drag. Once they get strafed by the predator, they ain't coming anywhere near me.
Gerdy says he's hoping to get the Alaska Department of Fish and Game to approve predator drones as legal fishing gear for power trollers. Hand trollers would only be able to use hot air balloons. And now, over to Crabbait's Joe Vignicki, who found another inventor with a story to tell.
One of the biggest crowds at a booth at this year's convention is in the transportation section, where some low-tech gadgetry in use today could transform the way people get around the islands of Southeast. I'm talking about the zip line. It's a long cable stretched between two trees. A person is able to ride down the line in a harness suspended from the cable. They've got a small demonstration project set up right here in the convention center. It's a technology that has been perfected at several popular Southeast cruise ship destinations, but it's not something the state has considered until now. Maynard Undercoating is with the State Department of Internal Combustion.
Yeah, it's something to consider. I mean, you know, the Alaska Marine Highway System could be replaced by the Alaska Marine Zipline System. I mean, you know, imagine that, getting rid of the old blue canoes. I love that ferry system. Excuse me, I gotta go catch my plane.
Zip lines would cut out any fossil fuel emissions and costly engine repairs. There are, however, some bugs to be worked out of the system. The new zip line from Bellingham to Juneau would have to start somewhere up high on the slopes of Mount Rainier. And there have been some unfortunate zip line passenger interactions with commercial fishing vessels. And a test project underway right now in northern Chatham Strait. Matt, back over to you.
Thanks, Joe. Alaskans are tired of corruption in politics, and that's the driving concept behind Annie Groundrunner's breakthrough innovation in artificial intelligence, fully programmable politicians.
My robot politician will revolutionize government. Voters get to choose which party each robot lawmaker should represent, and then we'll program the party platform into their positronic brain. It's very similar to how it works now, except we include some safeguards based on principles developed by famed science fiction author Isaac Asimov. Each robot is hardwired with a simple set of basic laws that govern their behavior. I'll have our prototype recite them for you. AKB2, please list the three laws of Alaska politicians.
Law number one, an Alaska politician must support drilling in Anwar and must not, through inaction, allow a human being's permanent fund to be injured. Law two, an Alaska politician must obey orders given to it by human beings, except where such orders would conflict with the first law. Law number three, an Alaska politician must protect its own existence as long as such protection does not conflict with the first or second law, or involve the use of a private hotel suite in Juneau.
And unlike today's politicians, these robots will not be powered by gas, oil, or other fossil fuels. Groundrunner says the robots will run on the rays of the sun, which could definitely limit their effectiveness in representing the rainforest communities of southeast Alaska, and it could end up shortening the length of the legislative session to just a couple of sunny weeks a year.
Scientists have successfully cloned mice, sheep, a human ear, and even the Yeti, but until now have not yet found a practical use for the technology. That could be changing as we see at this next booth. Hunters around Alaska could be seeing moose numbers dramatically on the rise thanks to the Cape Yakutaga Cloning Lab. Melvin Goodnews is lead scientist on the project.
Well, we've successfully cloned a moose foreleg, and we've been able to grow antler brow tines at the lab. So at the very least, we should be able to augment the size of trophy antler spreads that people can, you know, hang over their fireplace.
No luck getting a full-grown moose going yet?
No, we haven't gotten a full-grown one, but we're not far off. I mean, we're also working on the woolly mammoth and the saber-toothed tiger, although those might have to be drawing permit hunts, archery only.
The lab is looking into some new animal combinations with its cloning, but some early experiments have not yet been so successful. One attempt to combine sockeye salmon, red squirrels, and wolverines went horribly wrong and led to the closures of many local fishing streams in the area for the next 40 years.
And now here's Zi Fuqua with the crab bait messages.
To all mariners, has your equipment activated accidentally? It's nothing to be ashamed of. Some residents have been walking around with their EPIRBs hanging out for years. Avoid potential embarrassment. Remember to check your equipment today. Lost during last year's presidential campaign. One silk scarf, a down North Face parka, an oyster-shaded Valentino silk jacket and matching silk skirt. Four tortoise leather handbags by Neiman Marcus and seven pairs of naughty monkey gold lame pumps, one pair for each day of the week. If found, contact the Republican National Committee. And now a correction. In Thursday's feature about marine mammals in Alaska, we incorrectly identified a humpback whale. The whale's name was Owen, not Carl, as we incorrectly reported. Also, the animal referred to as a stellar sea lion was, in fact, a Bengal tiger. And currently, there are no proposals before the Board of Game to open hunting for emus, llamas, or lemurs in southeast Alaska. Crabbait Radio regrets the errors. The Crisis Committee will meet tonight at 7. Please remain calm and bring something to go with coffee and... Oh, what's the point? We've had it!
That's it for this year's edition of Crabbait Radio. Crabbait was written and produced by Joe Vignicki and me, Matt Lichtenstein, in the studios of KFSK Public Radio, Petersburg, Alaska, with additional voices by Suzanne Fuqua and Van Abbott. Crabbait Radio. If you can't catch crabs, catch us. And remember,
the most productive bottom is where the bigger, dominant crabs tend to be.
That's good advice. Anytime. So long from Crabbait Radio.